everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap-Up Show, the show for the finale. I'm here, as always, with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, what did you think of this finale? I'm still like, I don't know, I'm really excited to talk to you. I don't know how I feel.
Amy, I am dressed completely in black in solidarity of Nick's dead romance.
It's so sad. We're not going to bury the lead, guys. Sorry, we just spoiled it. If you're tuning in...
If you're listening to this and you know what haven't happened. Watched it and you're not looking for spoilers, like, I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah, we can't help you. We're just... I think we just have to go straight to the results, talk about how shocked we were. Guys, some of you maybe were doubting that we weren't spoiled. Now you know. We can't handle that. She didn't pick Nick. And
yeah,
all the craziness.
I feel like I was blindsided just as much as Nick was. Mm. Like, okay, so in the editing of this episode, I felt like it definitely skewed towards Josh winning.
Yes.
But the editing of the entire season skewed towards Nick winning. Do you not see that? Like, is this just the producers being like, F you guys?
I mean, I was worried about that before when I thought, okay, I know a lot of times there's been past seasons where they try to trick you. I mean, going way back to Trista's season, a lot of people thought she had more chemistry with the other guy, and then she picked, and Ryan was kind of the quieter one that didn't seem like her personality. And I have one friend who was like, I stopped watching The Bachelorette after Meredith's season because I was so mad at how I was tricked. I thought she was picking the one. But I feel like when they choose the other one that is unexpected, it's not such a stab in the gut like this one felt like, because I never have felt like it was this one-sided.
At least Andy broke it down to us, like, easily, like she broke it down to Nick. Like, imagine if he was, like, down on one knee and Nikki was, Andy was like, listen, and we were like, what? No! Like, imagine,
yeah.
Imagine what we would have been like then. So, like, I'm glad she let us down easy.
She did, but it wasn't like, okay, the Neil Lane thing where they cut from Neil Lane knocking on the door to Josh, then, you know, showing the rings, which to me, really, really boring. I don't care about the rings.
Great of a ring. It's kind of a basic bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert. I probably wouldn't know if it was a cubic zirconia, but
Not an expert either, but, like, I just feel like at this point, you could go with something a little, like, a little different.
Yeah, no. But I was glad that we were spared, like, them going back and forth and him describing to Josh. And then you think he's going to show up. You see the door knocking. And you have Nick saying, I'm getting ready to pick out my ring. And the door opens. I felt like I was watching a Wes Craven film. And I think I jumped. Because then you see he opens the door and it's Andy there instead. And we're both
there. Yeah, and I'll be honest with you guys. I have a tendency to just, like, kind of only half pay attention. Like, I hear everything that goes on, but, like, I'm also looking at Twitter.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, what? No, what's going on? And then, like, I thought that was a pretty brilliant piece of editing by the producer's part.
It really was.
Like, and then they just and she was like, hey, and then they just, like, cut. Mm-hmm. I think I don't think there was one person in this entire Bachelor fandom that thought that conversation was going to be positive on.
No, yeah. And it was just, yeah, I feel like when they've done it before, you kind of see her driving up or something, so you know she's going to see one of the guys or something. Just the way that this was so abrupt. Yeah, I have to, you know, give props to the editors on that one, because I feel like even the people who were spoiled for this season probably jumped at that or were surprised how they did that,
it gave them something, some suspense.
Yeah. But speaking of that, I have to say, I was mentally prepared that she wouldn't pick Nick, because I'm kind of pissed at the producers, editors, what have you, for, like, before the show, they released the letter that he wrote. They didn't say who it was, but they're like, here's the mystery letter, and a couple people tweeted it at us, and I clicked on it, because I was like, well, maybe, you know, knowing I probably shouldn't have, and I saw how long it was, and I just saw a few phrases, and I was like, there's no way Josh wrote that. So I felt like,
okay.
You know, and I was still up in the air about, well, maybe there, since somebody asked us about this, I think it was, I want to say Laura Stanger, or Lisa Stanger, on Twitter, like, are they setting us up for a Jason Molly, Melissa situation where maybe she's going to change her mind, because what, otherwise it's a major screw up to release this letter. Or they just assume no one cares, or it's... And then also somebody else tweeted, and I felt the same way, at the very, like, up top, at the very front of the beginning of the episode, Chris Harrison was saying, this man that she didn't, or, you know, is heartbroken, and he's tried repeatedly to see her. And somebody said, like, well, I think it was maybe Mel Got Served, said, this kind of gives away who it is. Because you just feel like, is Josh really going to be that persistent?
But see, that's what I, like, I thought Josh would be that persistent.
Oh, you did?
Josh seems like the confrontational kind of guy. And we saw that throughout the season when Josh confronted Andrew, when Josh confronted Nick. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he'd be the type of guy who would be like, well, yo, like, I need this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I can see confrontational, but he was never really the, you know, it was Nick who was the one going to her room, or, you know, making these extra moves, or having that, like, passion, or seeming that connected to her. So I guess I always got the sense from Josh that he was like, yeah, I don't even know. It might not be me. Like, I hope it's me, that he would land on his feet a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And that Nick would be the heartbroken one that would need answers.
Right.
So I guess I, you know, prepared a little bit, like, it softened the blow a little bit, but yeah, the way they cut that with the editing was very dramatic. And then of course they like muddled it down with, like, hearing from Drew and who else.
Who even remembered who Drew was?
I didn't, like, recognize him.
Why is Drew there? Like, there's no point.
There really isn't, unless he's in the mix for the, you know, it's a big mystery right now.
No he's chance. Even blander than Chris.
Yeah. Is he on Bachelor in Paradise? I don't even think he is.
He's not.
No? Okay.
He's too bland for that shit.
So he's just randomly showed up.
Yeah. What? Like, I don't even know.
But now,
I don't get them.
But just thinking about it now, it's kind of interesting how they cut the, if you would compare the scene of Nick showing up at her hotel door and, you know, surprising her, and he was so, her first reaction was, oh my gosh, something's wrong. And he was like relieved that he was happy that she said that, because that showed that they were connected, that her main worry was that she might lose him. And then to put that side by side with her showing up and having bad news for him is kind of interesting. But yeah, it was very, I think both of us had like no written, like, with tons of O's.
Our good
in our
friend
feed.
Zach Brooks at Brooks ZA or something like that.
Yes,
oh, sorry,
colleague,
Zach.
Colleague
that
on post show recaps.
He tweeted us being like, there's a combined total of like 12 oh no's on my timeline between the two of you. And we're like, hey, you know, we just got our hearts broken.
Yeah. Sorry, Monday nights, you know, you're just gonna get random like reactions from us.
Okay, but so has your opinion on Nick changed at all since seeing the After the Final Row special? Because I'm waffling back and forth.
It's hard. He was definitely heartbroken, and you really felt for him. And
like, when Andy was like, no, I was never in love with you, like, that's got to be soul-crushing, because, like, I mean,
and I didn't believe it, because
no,
all those
I didn't
she
either.
Said, yeah, and just seeing them together, you just, the thing is, for anybody who didn't watch, because we know we have a few people who are just listening
just
and
like
catching up that way.
Voices.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, but
I don't know either.
Nonetheless.
Exactly. Well, so what happened was they were pimping this out as like, the heartbroken man finally gets his chance to face Andy. He's tried twice. He was at the mental hall and she didn't want to see him there, so he left a letter. He tried to see her in Mexico and she wasn't ready. Like, I guess he was trying to crash a vacation or something that she was on.
Odd.
Probably with Josh. And so it was Nick, and then he comes out and she had to like sit there and he answer his questions. And the real hashtag uncomfy moment was when you could tell there was like something that he wanted to ask her, and I wonder if I even have like the exact quote, because I was shocked when he said it. He said, knowing how in love with you I was, if you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like, why you made love with me.
Okay, I have two things.
Yeah.
That term has just always made me so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
Like, I hate it. I hate it
me
so
too.
Much. But anyway, he has a point. Mm-hmm. We and obviously this was the thing we got the most questions and tweets about. Everyone had a different opinion, and
yeah.
you might not agree with ours because. I know me, like,
I kind of go back and
this
forth.
This is the same, yeah, exactly. This is the same thing with the Andy and Eric thing. Like, I think they were both in the wrong, mm-hmm. but I think they were both in the right. Because, like, it's, you know, it's Andy's prerogative if she wants to sleep with this guy. It really is. If she wants to, go for it. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah.
But I get his point of, well, you knew you weren't in love with me, but you still, you know, engaged in this act of intimacy that is some typically for some people reserved for a spouse and not, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, I get where he's coming from on that part. Like, why would you do that if you knew that you weren't in love with me? You could have just said no. Or,
yeah,
you know,
or like what she did with Chris. I mean, especially she's kind of set the tone all this time or set the pattern where she said, like, I don't want you to get hurt. I respect you too much. So she let Chris go before asking him to a fantasy suite because she said, you know, I don't want to. And he was grateful for that. Like, I'm, you know, if this is how you feel, I'm glad to not get that fantasy key or whatever, you know, that you let me go now with guys like Tassos and Cody. She let them go even earlier. Couldn't let them continue on very early on. And I guess I think what it's sort of the kissing and telling, you know, that makes us kind of cringe.
Yeah, I was not okay with that. But also, okay, so I have 2 points and neither of them relate, but we had kind of talked about it in our final three cast
mm-hmm.
where we weren't sure of the order of, in which the guys had the date.
Yeah.
But if we're going to follow what the TV show showed us,
mm-hmm.
Then Nick went first. Nick went before Josh.
Right.
So, I mean, it could be like Andy was like, I wonder. So, and she slept with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Josh, it was like, okay, like this is, you know what I mean? Like, this is really definitely what I want. You know what I mean? Like, it's that like reminder. I don't know, but
yeah, I don't think we're not judging her for doing that.
No, girl, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
If you want to make out with 25 guys, have at her.
Yeah,
that's not my issue.
Yeah, so I was definitely like, he shouldn't have said that, or he could have said it another way. Like, you know, just play along with the game of the show where they just kind of are like, he could have said like, I guess I don't know why you took me to the fantasy suite. You know what I mean? Like, just have a little more, I don't know, be a little more,
yeah. And, you know, and part of it's like, well, they kind of have
Josh,
to make a TV show.
Yeah. But I don't,
there's
do you
a
think
0%
the producers
chance
thought he was going to say that, though? Like, I feel like Chris Harrison didn't
know.
No.
I mean, there has to be a TV show. Like, she could have let Chris and Nick go that week. But what would the point be?
Right.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, they could have, yeah, he could have said it a different way. Like, she couldn't have let him go or whatever, but they could have, you know, stayed up all night talking like he had said they were going to do. But
and another thing was, so Nick said that comment.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy said, well, that was below the belt.
Literally.
Yeah. But then later, Josh came in and said, and Chris Harrison said something, he addressed the pregnancy rumors, and Andy was like, I'm not pregnant, and Josh was like, well, I've been trying, like,
mm-hmm.
what's the difference between that and, you know, what Nick said? It's broadcasting an aspect of her personal life that she may or may not be comfortable with sharing.
Is it
one of those things that Josh is her fiancé? Is that what the difference is?
Yeah, to me, there's a few differences. I guess Josh, he's her fiance, and that's kind of a lighthearted, you know, you could even take that as, you know, somebody, if she wanted to pass it off as like, hey, he's trying and I'm not letting him, you know, she could pass it off as however way she wanted.
I would still be embarrassed, though. I would be embarrassed at both of them if
right.
I were in Andy's shoes.
But, and if you were Josh, though, wouldn't you want to come out and sort of like, he had to sit in the backstage and hear Nick say that and see his fiance be really uncomfortable? And so, you know, it was kind of maybe a lighthearted thing, and I think she was probably fine with that. But where it's like the airing of the dirty laundry, like.
But it's still. And Chris Harrison seemed to be like pissy about that, that he said that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that was just my impression. But then he. But like Chris Harrison threw Marcus under the bus the week prior.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just. Like, there's a lot of double standards here, yeah. And a lot of messy, blurred lines of morality.
Delving into other people's
pretty ridiculous that we're discussing the morality of in a show like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. But yeah. You know, we're here to do shit like that.
Yeah, and it made more sense, like seeing how Nick was, like, because I remember so the first couple hours of where they show her. Nick meeting her parents, Josh meeting her parents, and then the kind of their individual dates. Like, it struck me how much of a 180 how Andy was acting towards Nick in their date.
Yes,
it was very weird, and
like you could see it.
Yeah, you could see it, but it was just such a change in tone, and so it kind of makes you wonder, like, okay, did you know they just not connect in the fantasy suite, or was it, you know, that something, you know, changed that week? You know, because it just seemed like leading up to that, she was 100%, you know, he was the front runner. And
maybe she was impressed with Josh's bigger feet than, you know.
You know, Nick. Like, maybe that's just all it came down to. Because he was size 13 and Nick was 10.5. So, and then I remember what was kind of painful to watch in when they were having that date. And I kind of prepped myself, like, okay, I think that letter was from Nick, and, you know, not knowing, you know, how dramatic it was going to be, you know, for once they were not, wasn't hyperbole what they were showing us in the previews. But when he was saying in his confessionals, and like, she's just giving me all the signs, and I was watching the date, and I was like, what signs is she giving you? She's kind of like changing the conversation, not really kissing you, just sort of.
You could feel it.
You could feel it. Like, he'd talk about her dad, and she'd just say, oh, yeah, he's like that when he likes somebody, and just very detached, kind of how she was treating Chris on the when they were down to final three. And so now
she,
it makes
maybe
sense.
She doesn't actually have a poker face.
Right, right. Somebody tweeted me, like, she was actually, like, pushing him away when he tried to kiss. Like, I didn't notice it exactly. But, you know, it just, she didn't have the body language. She wasn't really affectionate. But he's saying she's given me all the signs, so he's probably referring to what happened in the fantasy suite. That was all the signs he needed.
Or, you know, if you like someone, you always read into the positive signs rather than the negative signs.
Right. Very true.
Okay, slate aside, what did you think of the gifts this year?
Okay. Well, I had to just, I thought it was hilarious when in my Twitter feed, @Mel got served, she was predicting what the craft would be, and she said, prediction, Josh will give her a baseball card. And I think I retweeted it. I was like, oh, that's so funny. And then he gave her a baseball card.
Yeah, that was that like was a really awesome moment of clairvoyance for our good friend. Yeah.
And
but I thought it was a cute idea.
You did? Okay.
You know, you guys
at least it wasn't of him. It was of her.
That's
so
true.
Gotta get points for that.
I would have laughed so hard if it was like his rookie card.
Yeah.
But you guys know I'm a you know, a reasonably sized baseball fan. Mm-hmm. My beloved Toronto Blue Jays just won the second game in the series against the Boston Red Sox, so I was pumped about that. Okay. So that's a cute gift. I liked it.
Yeah.
What I thought was a little presumptuous was that he wrote Andy Murray on it.
I agree.
And I was like, I don't know about that.
Have you had that convo yet? Yeah. It was just a little weird. Like, you're not married. To just give her her own, you know, she's Andy Dorfman, star of The Bachelorette. Like, let her keep that for now. But I think that really worked on Andy.
Yeah, I do too.
So, like, for whatever reason, I mean, for her, I guess, you know, that my sense with Josh, again, I keep going back to, like, I didn't feel like that deep connection with them. But a lot of times I feel like I'm projecting what I like in relationships, what I like in connections with people. And so I like how Nick is very communicative. He gives her specifics about what he likes about her. He is very, you know, attentive, but, you know, he's articulate.
Not like attentive, but not like
not
clean.
Just yeah. And whereas Josh, it just always kind of feels empty. Like he'll just say, "I love everything about you," and it's like, "Well, what does that mean?" You can say that to anybody, and but I think she was always looking for like Josh to kind of catch up with the other guys. Almost like, well, I don't want to keep Josh around if he's going to be like all my exes that were similar, and if he's a player. But she wanted, and I think she looked for all those signs, like when he finally said, "I love you," like after the other guys did. And then she was like, "Okay, good. Like I've been waiting for you to say that." And then this was, oh, a guy doesn't put his last name on it. Like she was acting like it was like a 1950s
and that's,
pin.
And that's,
like,
that's true. It could be like for her that one defining moment.
That
but
traditional
it's totally
thing.
Funny that I think you mentioned this to me on Twitter, but we both watched, we love our dating shows. Okay. So when we heard about the show Dating Naked, we had to check it out. Like there was, there's
and
no way we could pass it up.
When Rob and Nicole are going to podcast about it with somebody that Rob knows, you know, got to listen
to
that.
Yeah, and it was actually like, if you haven't seen it, go check out at least one episode. It was pretty interesting.
Right.
But anyways, in the second episode, there's this girl who, she had a connection with both two guys. One was just completely not her, like not her usual type, but she was like, we just have this chemistry, blah, blah, blah. And this other guy was totally her type.
Yeah.
And
physical type, like just kind of exactly what she was looking for.
But he, you know, his flaw was that he had never had a relationship longer than 8 months or something like that.
Mm, yeah, I remember that.
And in the end, sorry, this is a spoiler alert. So
if you're planning into
Dating Naked and you don't want to hear the end, part of the ending of the second episode, tune out now.
Fast forward.
Anyway, So she picks the guy who is her type.
Right.
And she's like, well, I can't just say like this guy's going to be like the rest of them. And
yeah, I can't prejudice.
Like that's exactly what Andy did.
Exactly. Because yeah, the second guy she went out with, so the girl was Taryn, and she was just, I want something new. It hasn't worked out when I always date the same type of guys. So the second guy was like this earthy guy from Portland with long hair. Didn't seem like her type at first, but he like made her feel different and more confident. Like, oh, I could get rid of these hair extensions and eyelashes and just be myself. And he brings something out in me that's very deep or whatever. But then like the second that third guy showed up, that was just this athletic, you know, the Jerry O'Connell blonde lookalike. She just like was like, forget Dar. Yeah. And that's and it really, especially when I was listening to the podcast that Rob did with the other guy, the main naked dater on the show, Steven, when they were talking about how she just wanted to kind of go back to what she was familiar with. And then Andy was talking about the same thing. Like, I don't want to have prejudice against him or stereotype him just because he is like everybody else. But yet she came into the show saying like, I want to try something different. It hasn't worked for me before. So do you think people just fall back into a certain type?
It's hard to break a habit, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be attracted to who you're going to be attracted to. And as much as she could be like, oh, like Nick is different, you know what I mean? Like she's going to go
Nick
back to
challenges
Josh.
Me. And some people, you know,
and
people
that's comfortable
have placed
for her.
Different, you know, different things are more important to different people. So some people might place higher on sexual chemistry. Some people might place higher on mental chemistry or, you know, and when she talked about it, she was like, he makes me feel young, safe. You know, they definitely had that physical chemistry. And I think she was resisting him. But she did say from the beginning, like you were the one. And I didn't really buy all that. Like, it just seemed like at the end with the proposal, a lot of that just seemed like what they thought they were supposed to say. I don't know. Maybe just because we were blinded by Nick. Or I was projecting.
Yeah,
I wonder
what would happen if we went back and watched the season knowing the outcome. Mm-hmm. By the way, not going to do that. It's hard enough to spend 2 hours a week watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about how I think a lot of people just tuned into the finale, like just from, I think, different bloggers and things like that. And they probably had a different reaction to how Nick was portrayed and, oh my gosh, is he a stalker by following her? And you know, sending this letter and doing all this. Whereas I think people who had watched the entire season, or I think also maybe people who had the spoiler, because really, like, there was such a strong connection between them. And that's why I feel like a lot of us were very rattled by it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
if that's not true love, then I don't know what what is then.
Right. What do we believe in now?
Nothing.
Although I started thinking, like, maybe, like, there was no doubt that he was in love with her, but maybe I kind of feel that she wasn't maybe the right fit for him. Like, I think he needs somebody that has a different kind of, what did she comment on? Like, she was worried that there would be too much overthinking with them, too much, you know, something.
Yeah, like, she feels like she would always be overanalyzing with him. But I feel like after a certain point, like, what do you need to overanalyze?
Yeah.
Because I'm an over analytical person too. Like, I can sit down and run through like 15 different scenarios in 5 minutes about, you know, what could or could not happen. So, like, I understand how, like, somebody doesn't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, once you get to a point where it's like, okay, we don't need to analyze anymore. Like, this is just what it is. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I feel like if she would have let go and been like, hey, Nick, you're it, then I don't think there was anything else to analyze, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of it to me seems like kind of a resistance to something challenging, and Josh was like mm-hmm. comfortable and easy, and
I definitely see that.
And I also was thinking
literally he's easy.
yeah, easy breezy.
Just kidding, Josh.
Well, we don't know what his lies. We don't know what his lies on the lie detector tests were.
Really,
so.
that's another thing that
we had
was
to hear,
like,
from.
Oh, not gonna pick. Not gonna look at those.
Right. No, we had to hear from Grumpy Cat at the end, so we can't get
the
lie detector.
Okay, what was that? Okay, I melted, absolutely. I think Grumpy Cat is precious and adorable.
Yeah.
But what relevance did it have?
Why?
It was like the last few minutes of the show. It was like, well,
very
Andy,
awkward.
Your frown is pretty legendary, so why don't we bring out Grumpy Cat? It was like, what? Why?
I know, and I felt like it was so awkward when Chris Harrison was like, frown off, and she clearly didn't hear him, and like he was just like determined to make a frown off happen, and then Andy's smiling and Grumpy Cat just looks like Grumpy Cat. But that really belonged at if anywhere the men tell all with all
I
that
agree,
ridiculousness.
But it was so odd as f.
Oh, totally. Like, they just had to distract from the uncomfortable moment,
I guess,
with Nick. Another thing I was thinking about with the Nick thing, like, because a lot of times, you know, they had a couple months, because I just don't remember seeing anybody that heartbroken. Even, you know, if it was the final two guys or girls, I mean, some by that time, like, some of them have a new relationship, and a lot of them, like, come on saying, like, well, now that I've seen the season, I didn't get to see that connection. I didn't get to see, like, what Sean had with Catherine, for example, or something like that. And they can kind of come to terms with some of that. But again, he's seeing what we saw, and I think he's seeing, like, her not have the same kind of connection with Josh.
And I think even part of it was just, like, he didn't go there to win her back. He went there to be, like, what did I miss? Like, what signs did I miss? And I think that's reasonable.
Yeah. So I have, actually, the letter. Did you get a chance to read it? They released it on Facebook.
I went to read it, and then I realized how many words it was, and then I think I got distracted.
Exactly. That's why
something.
I was like, I wish I hadn't seen it before the show, but maybe it helped me prepare a little bit that I was, we were going to be wrong, but I'll just read a couple things because I want your take on why they would release this, because to me it was very spoilery. Do they just, you know, accept that, the spoilers are out there or something, because, you know, we managed to avoid them. So it says, let's see, I'll try to skip
I'm
around.
Really proud of us.
Yeah.
And not only
and
are
our
they
listeners.
Proud of us, I'm so thankful to our awesome, awesome listeners who
me
never
too.
For 1 second tweeted, LOL, we know spoilers and you don't. Like, and like,
no, they were,
you
like,
know, like hinted at it heavily, like what would happen. So,
right.
Like, thank you guys.
I know.
So much
that
for
awesome.
That. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. And we got like, and I was like appreciative because there was, Kelsey, I think, I don't want to get her Twitter handle wrong, but on Twitter she tweeted us a link, so if we want to see the spoilers now, and I actually did check out one page.
I did too, yeah.
But, and I liked how she linked it exactly this one page, because I don't want to go to this that site and see the Bachelor in Paradise spoilers, you know, so she just linked to, like, the specific thing. So here's his letter. He says, Andy, you lit me up. You made me feel those things that people go a lifetime to find, and I feel like I made you feel the same. I truly hoped we would have made it into the real world where there would be no arbitrary deadline, where those stresses that came with the environment would have melted away, where we could have had the goofy, fun, exciting relationship that I know we could have. What we had was real to me, and it was amazing. Then he says, let's see. I think about that moment when you ended things and what you said to me. I believe you when you said something didn't feel right with us when you woke up that morning, but I wonder if what didn't feel right was really about us and our relationship. I wonder if it would have been different if that night you thought about us with your heart and not with your head. Let's just call it what it was. Our relationship was very much the road less traveled. I totally get that all the passion, intensity, and connections that we had were accompanied by fear and sometimes discomfort. There is a reason why very few are willing to take the road less traveled. It can be scary, challenging, and risky, but if you have the courage to take it, it usually ends up being amazing. That is one thing that has bothered me the most. When you said, you know, you could have had a good life with me, you just don't think you could have had a great one. The thing is, if you were to go back and think of every moment that we spent together, the first time we met, our first date, our wow moment in New England, our time in France, everything about Venice, our walk in Belgium, that moment in the monastery, the first time I told you I loved you, and everything about that day and night and the adjectives to describe those moments, many words come to mind. Words like exciting, passionate, intense, tingling, romantic, sexy, easy, and great. You could even say scary, nerve-wracking, frustrating, and challenging. You could say all of these are words you could use to describe us, but I doubt very much you would think of these moments and the word good would ever come to mind. So he's kind of putting it out there that she was kind of afraid, and it really spoiled. I mean, he said that moment in the monastery. I mean, yeah. Josh wasn't on that date, so why are they releasing this? And what do you think of
that? Is kind of a shame on you, Bachelor, for releasing that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering. Okay, so
because this was ahead of the finale airing, that they put on their Facebook page that they have like a million fans.
But maybe after hearing that, maybe it's not that Josh is just like easy and comfortable, but he's, you know, comfortable in a good way. Like, maybe he looks like the easy choice, but if you don't want a relationship where you, like Andy said, have to overanalyze all the time and keep, what am I trying to say? I'm not sure, but maybe Josh was the comfortable choice, and it's just like where she felt she fit in, where Nico was always just like too, like, sorry for my lack of a better metaphor, but stick a square peg in a round hole. But maybe it always just kind of felt like that. Like, it was cool and exciting and interesting and passionate and great, but at what expense? You know, was it just that easy, natural feeling of just being, you know, completely yourself with someone? But I thought we saw that with Nick and Andy. Like, I thought that's what we saw.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she seemed
we
like
didn't get to
she wanted something
everything.
Different. Yeah. Like, it seemed more than just being intrigued, like, oh, he's different than other guys I dated. It just seemed like they had, you know, she would always say, he gets me. He, you know, it's unlike anything else.
He looks at me, and when he looks at me, he sees all of me. He sees my soul.
Yeah.
And guys, I was not reading off a piece of paper. Like, I just
she said that a lot.
Into my
head.
He sees my soul is like her version of this is a fairy tale come true.
Right, it totally is. And then, speaking of repeated things, so what she would say about Josh was too good to be true. She said that at least 5 times in the finale. So maybe that played into
the others were just fucking with us. Sorry for my language.
Yeah.
But they were just messing with us. They're messing with our. They knew that we were emotional and we get drawn in, and then they just screwed with our heads.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Aside from that little indiscretion
with that.
Yeah, I mean, now I don't think Nick will have any trouble. I think he's heartbroken right now. I'm sure he'll have a lot of people lining up in Chicago where he lives and elsewhere. I don't think the show
Chicago,
wants anything.
Why was his like thing in Milwaukee? Like, you know,
exactly.
Like,
they had to make it.
He was
like
walking around Milwaukee, and it's like, I thought you were in Chicago.
Yeah, like he had to come home, live at home for 2 months or something. So
who is he? Me? Just kidding. I'm not living at home because I broke up with anyone. I'm living at home because I have no prospects in life.
That's all right. We've all had to do it at some point.
That's safe for another podcast.
Yeah.
The Haley Lists Her Issues podcast.
Oh gosh. I've come to terms with it, I guess. It was hard not to feel for Nick, but then a lot of people thought he was a total villain. They thought he was stalking her. It seemed like the show, like,
it sounded like he didn't want to get back with, he wasn't trying to, like, be like, Andy, like, I'm in love with you and I know you're in love with me. Like, you just need to admit it. It's like, he was like, I just need closure. I need answers and you're not giving them to me. And this is the only way I can do it.
And I don't think he revealed that what happened in the fantasy suite to be vindictive in a way. Like, I feel like it sort of slipped out. I don't know.
I don't know. It did not. Yeah. He kind of just was like, well, why did you do this? Rather than like, well, you did this, like, you dirty slut.
Yeah.
Like, well, why would you do this if you knew?
Yeah. Yeah. He was just so hurt. It was hard to watch. I don't know. What else?
And this is something we kind of mentioned off air. Yes. Do you think production interfered with Nick going to talk to Andy? Or do you think it was Andy's choice? Like, because I...
Okay, we got some questions about that, too. Because, right? Because he tried to see her twice. And so you're saying, like, did Andy actually say no? Or did the producer say, why don't you wait till this show or this show?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people were saying, well, is it Andy's fault that that was revealed on air because he tried to talk to her at other times? But in my opinion, there's no way the show would let them talk without recording it.
I agree. Well, whether he was in Mexico or what. We got shown them learning about their friend's death on screen. Like, obviously, they're not going to let that slip. Like, it's not going to happen. And, you know, part of it could be that once you're done with a guy, you just want to be done with him. And you don't want to hear from him. You don't want to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that was Andy's part of it.
That was definitely part of it. But I wonder if production was like, no, Andy, you can't, like, don't talk to him. Mm. And because I feel like the producers could be like, Nick, don't go talk to her all they want. But because he has shown all along that he doesn't care about the process, really.
Yeah, or he'll
so he could be like,
rules.
I don't care. Like, I need the answers for my own personal life. Like, I don't care about your entertainment.
Right. I mean, there's just so much about, I mean, we talked about this when the show started. There's just the whole setup of the show is just, it's designed for not a real relationship, or it's not a normal way to start a relationship. There's going to be people, it's set up for people to get heartbroken and only one person, maybe, to have sort of the end result that they want. And then it's not normal to be cut off from all your loved ones and friends, not have a phone, not have access to the outside world when you're dating someone who's dating 10 other people at the same time, or 5 or 3. And then when you end it, you know, to just the person who's heartbroken, suddenly, like, the person they were in love with is moving on, possibly engaged to somebody that you used to be roommates with. You know, it's just designed to be so...
It's a very odd process, and it's not natural.
No.
It's
good for drama. It was good TV.
As much as we can say, like, this process is kind of, you know, ridiculed because so many things haven't worked out, the Bachelor Bachelorette franchise is kind of on a hot streak right now.
Think so.
So we had Sean, and him and Catherine are married.
Mm-hmm.
Desiree and Chris are still engaged and going strong. And Nikki and Juan Pablo are still together against, you know, nobody thought that would be happening.
Right.
So do you think this relationship has potential to last?
Yeah, we got asked that as well. I wish I had more to go on.
I know, me too. Because we are so blind. We were so, like, we focused all of it on Nick, and so now we're left being like, okay, well, what signs did we miss?
Yeah.
What clues weren't we given?
Right. I mean, I did see them on Jimmy Kimmel after, and they looked pretty good, but I don't know if that was filmed actually before or what.
They look too much alike for my okayness, okay?
I comment on that as well. Like, even just... they
just look alike. Their coloring is so similar, and they just kind of blend together.
At their hometown date, we thought she kind of looked like the mom in 20 years. And then even just kind of how they were talking at the proposal, they were instantly saying babe right away, which kind of annoyed me. And there's just,
I throw that term of endearment around pretty.
I don't know, just with like, yeah, I
No,
don't.
I totes know what you mean because it was more or
Like, it
less
was
like, you
jarring
know
to
how
me.
you,
Like,
yeah, you know how you kind of like say things as a joke and then they
yeah.
turn into like things you actually say? Well, that was kind of like
Yeah, it
that
was too
with me.
sincere for my liking. I think that's what it is. Like, I don't mind it used in different circumstances or with friends or whatever, but when they're just like, all right, babe, you know?
All right, babe, we're engaged.
Yeah,
Let's
let's
go.
go. And so they were just kind of like twinsies in how they interacted too, or just, so maybe they were just, yeah, really similar. And some people, they don't want someone different, or they're, you know, I feel like I kind of see like two types of couples that are really strong. Like, some, it's like the familiarity, and they do kind of look alike with who they end up with, or the total opposites attract thing. So, you know, they were in each other's backyards. That was a big thing that they highlighted about how we're both from Atlanta, and that was why she would harp on, oh, it's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. Plus, the whole athlete thing. I mean, just the fact that his brother is, you know, has a multi-million-dollar football contract, that's probably an appealing, you know, sort of
My,
like
you know,
marry into that family kind of thing.
the Atlanta connection led to my favorite tweet, maybe of the night. Or definitely of the night, but probably of the whole season. From at Mel Got Served, she said, "Next time, save us a couple months and just use Tinder." Hashtag thanks.
Right?
I like, yeah, like you're not wrong, girl.
Yeah, that was weird on
It was
the
hilarious.
after the final rose when they were, or was it, maybe I was on Kimmel where they were talking about how, because I watched that after, and she was saying he saw her at a club but he couldn't go talk to her. Was that on Kimmel or did you remember hearing this?
I didn't hear this.
Okay,
Didn't hear that.
so he saw her but he wasn't allowed to talk to her because he was in casting and it was rumored that she might be the one or something. So
Oh,
isn't that weird?
interesting.
Yeah, so like, you know, she was like, well, yeah, it's a good thing you didn't talk to me because then I wouldn't have been on the show and we just ended up together. So she really like played off the whole like it was meant to be, like he's just exactly my type and this is, you know, she said, but then I think she also said that she didn't know her decision till that morning. So there's a whole lot of confusion of,
Yeah.
you know, sticking to her story. How did you think she came off when Nick was talking to her? Because we kind of got questions about that too.
Do you wanna
Should we just
should
jump to our questions?
Yeah, let's just do that. And
Okay.
if we think of anything else.
Sorry that we're rattled, guys.
We
We
yeah, we're really rattled.
we don't know how to organize this. I
And we
stopped
also
taking
didn't
notes at
care.
some point because I was just like glued to the screen and Twitter
Yeah, and we
and.
also did not care about the like 90 minutes of filler of watching them go on boring dates anymore.
Yeah.
So sorry we haven't mentioned that at all, but I don't think you're missing it. And if you are, we can have a talk about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
Although I think I
let's move into
probably
our
forgot to
questions.
answer your question that you had about the gifts because we never talked about his
Oh yeah.
sand necklace, which I thought was really cute. So another point
I
for
thought
Nick.
both of them were
Oh.
pretty cute ideas and they were
Yeah.
creative and unique and like cuz we usually see like a lame scrapbook.
Yes. But
So I'm
Nick
glad
already did
we
that lame fairy tale book.
Yeah. So I'm
So
glad we got something a
he
little
redeemed
different from both the
himself.
guys.
Yeah, so we got a lot of questions and a lot of comments on Twitter and some on Facebook. So again, like to thank all of you guys for the engagement on social media that
You really
you made it
rose
fun.
to the occasion.
Exactly. Okay. Guys, we're corny, okay. So let's see. Okay, I have to admit I didn't notice this, but a couple of people were commenting on this. Dan Connolly on Facebook asks, "Is Chris Harrison trying to steal Julie Chen's trademark butt first?" Did you catch it? Or were we both too?
Didn't catch it.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it
Did
past
not.
him. I don't think he's very original.
I feel like Chris Harrison has gone off the deep end. Like he this like bachelor lifestyle, like aka like the being single lifestyle has really gotten to him. He's
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's up with you, Chris, but I'd still invite you to a viewing
Yeah,
party.
because he used to be like, he was the host who was like, I've got my wife and my 2.4 children, you know, and this is proof that it works, and I believe in true love, and you know, nothing against, you know, it's fine on him to get divorced, but you think that maybe is affecting his, you know,
I think so.
All this craziness, all the train wrecks.
Do you think Chris Harrison would make out with one of the Bachelor contestants?
Probably already has. You're talking women, right?
Yes! Right. Well, or men. Like, we're like, not, we're
I,
not
I would not be surprised. I'm sure there's, like, tabloid rumors that, you know, whoever he's the, like, 10th reject that he's hooked up with or whatever. I wouldn't put it past. I don't know. But I, as far as stealing from Julie Chen, yeah, I think he could be a hodgepodge of a bunch. I just don't think he's very original. But I, yeah, again, I didn't catch him saying
it. Because this show is so corny that, like, all of his lines are super corny, too.
Yeah. And I don't think he really handled, he didn't know how to react to when Nick sort of dropped that bomb, so.
No, he didn't.
He's not, I feel like Probst is good at least kind of reacting to things people say or catching little nuances and things like that, whereas I think Chris Harrison is just sort of
he sticks to the script. Yeah. Like during Juan Pablo's finale, there was it kind of came out after that it was rumored that ABC was said that they would pay Juan Pablo to propose during the finale, and so there was that whole thing where it was like, and forcing. There was like this big surprise. Like, there's a big surprise coming, and then so when Juan Pablo, you know, wouldn't. You know, play into it. Mm-hmm. Chris had his hands tied. He didn't know what to do. Like,
he kept bringing it up and he got really pissy.
Join an improv class.
Yeah. Comedy sports, become a groundling. That'd be so funny. Imagine showing up to like an improv class and there's a guy from The Bachelor there.
That would be so hilarious. Creepy.
So, let's see. This is more a comment, but I feel like Lori on Facebook is really, she agrees with us on some of these things, so I'll read some of it. Lori Walker Mello says she's very disappointed in Andy. I feel like she did take it too far with Nick. You could argue that it was just a dramatic edit, but I don't think that's it. If she truly felt like Josh was the one from the get-go, it wasn't necessary for her to get that close to Nick. She was clearly capable at keeping guys at a distance like she did with Farmer Chris. And then she just says, like, not sure if I can handle watching future seasons. I can't handle the heartbreak. But she also says, I didn't like how we threw Andy under the bus about their overnighter together, although she did have two opportunities to hash it out with him before last night, so it might have been avoided had she given him the opportunity before the live show. So I guess, like, the questions in that are, do you think that she took it too far, and do you think she would have had an opportunity to talk with him before?
Okay, so this is actually a point that we haven't brought up yet. Mm-hmm. But how much of what she said last night was revisionist history?
I got that sense. Yeah.
Because
she's had 2 months, like, canoodling with Josh in Atlanta, and, you know, he's backstage watching as well, so you're gonna kind of, you don't want to continue having lingering feelings for another guy or feeling doubt, whereas
yeah,
he's gonna...
and, like, she, maybe... You know, it's possible she was in love with Nick, and but now she's like, oh no, I wasn't.
Right.
I'm just so in love with Josh that I can't remember what it was like before him. So, you know, she could have acted actually like on her genuine feelings, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. If she didn't act on her genuine feeling, or if she acted on disingenuine feelings, like I mean. To each their own, but yeah, and I kind of see the point of she could have avoided it, but could she have? Like we talked about this. Like, would the producers let this happen?
Yeah,
would they? Because they're so controlled over these things. Like, they're so controlled over like the relationships, even the ones that I don't know if you guys know this, but they for the Bachelorette Cup. Or Bachelor and Bachelorette couples, they have, like, these happy couple, you know, weekends or whatever. So, a couple times in between when
usually they're...
the filming ends and, like, the after the final rose, they have, like, a couple weekends where they meet up in wherever.
They fly
and,
them out,
you know,
somewhere, like, an undisclosed location.
And this is, like, a Bachelor-sanctioned thing. Like, the producers do this.
Yeah. To keep the... Yeah, so that they can hopefully keep... you know, their relationship alive until the 2 months later for the after the mm-hmm. final rose. And although they lived in the same city, so they were talking about how they had little rendezvous wearing wigs and things like that. So, yeah, I think there was some revisionist going on, and she probably, knowing that she did let these guys, other guys like Chris, go early or, kind of let them down easy, it does seem that she needed, like, she wasn't sure. And I think there was a time at one point when Chris asked her, "Are you in love with more than one person, or think you're falling in love with one more than one person?" She said yes. So there's, I just,
And it's easy to be swept up in all of like the magic that is The Bachelor.
yeah.
And once you like come out of that and like the bachelorette glow is kind of gone, you're like, oh, maybe I wasn't actually in love with him. Maybe I just like was in love with, being in Venice with someone or, doing this or whatever.
Right. And I think there's something called, I might be botching the term, but something like the decision paradox, or something about how if you have, and the comedian and from Parks and Rec, Aziz Ansari, talks about it, like the studies that when you have so many options, like people do with online dating, or no, decision paralysis or something like that. But when you have so many options, then you're sort of always thinking like, oh, well, there's this better thing out there, and you're not happy with your decision. But once you make a decision, then, she picked Josh, they're together, she's happy with it. And so to her, it'd be more painful to be like, oh, but what about Nick? No, she made her choice.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the whole time, it's like, oh, well, I have this fabulous date with this person, a fabulous date with this person, he has this quality. And where people, would be just kind of much happier being like, you know what, this person is great, and I'm not gonna open the window to like what could be with XYZ, but the whole process is putting her in that position where the guys only have one option. So they're all in love with her
Yeah,
to some
exactly.
degree.
Also, if you guys haven't seen Aziz Ansari's stand-up special, it's on Netflix. Please go
Oh,
watch
so
it. It is
good.
fantastic. It is probably one of the best stand-up specials I've seen, and everything's super relatable. Anyway,
Yes, yes.
Bachelor. Actually, I feel like there's a joke in it about The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Probably. Well, all of his are really good, but the recent one where he's talking about like technology and dating, and he'll talk to people about how they proposed. I saw him live, and he'll talk to someone in the audience and get their story, and yeah, that's really fun. So I was trying to think, I had something else. Oh, just that. I mean, also, if we saw all the scenes with Andy with Nick, I mean, and I've seen the Suave commercials, she is not a good actress, so there was definitely a genuine connection there. We weren't all bamboozled by, her great acting skills. So, I definitely agree that there was some revisionist history, and they're both kind of in the wrong with some of the ways they, handled, I guess. He didn't need to say that in that way, or, but I also don't think that she could have tried to talk to him at another point, but I don't think she thought he would do that on live TV. So it makes sense to wait if she doesn't owe him like talking to him, like if she felt she said everything she needed to say. So
Yeah, definitely. I didn't think of that, but that's, a good point.
yeah.
But I feel like Nick would be so blindsided by that that he wouldn't he that the questions would come up after, like l'esprit d'escalier. I just botched that pronunciation. Believe me, my French accent is way better than that. Anyways, that like the feeling of like something you should have said, you think of it like after.
Oh, happens to me all the
There's
time.
I'm sure he yeah, exactly. I'm sure he w had like all these things like, oh, this I should have asked and this and this and this and this.
Right.
Because he was so shocked by it. He just didn't have the mental capacity to think of those things
Yeah, when she's
until
breaking it down.
after.
Yeah, he was so shocked. Yeah, definitely.
So no one was really a winner in this one.
Yeah, maybe she should have just wrote a letter back to him.
Yeah,
She did
that's kind
read
of what
that
I was
letter.
thinking, like a nice email, like
Yeah.
XOXO Andy.
Yeah. Liza Judd on Facebook, do you think they will last? P.S. I'm still Team Nick. She was Team Nick with us all the way through. So.
I'm gonna go ahead and just like be hopeful.
Okay.
And I always tend to like be like, oh, like it's gonna work out and stuff. So I'd rather be positive about the situation and be like, you know what? I hope all the best for Nick and Andy.
I mean,
Andy and Josh.
Uh-oh.
Stay tuned. I hope all the best for Andy and Josh, and I hope they do make it.
I mean, he quit baseball so that he could have a family, and he's 29. I mean, he's getting really old. So.
That's not why he quit baseball, you guys.
He needed to have a family, and they want to have 4 kids. I learned that on Jimmy Kimmel. So, let's see. Mackenzie Scott. Questions about the future. Number one, it's widely speculated that the new Bachelor is going to be either Chris or Ari. Who do you both want? And number two, will you cover the second season of The Bachelor Canada this fall? And what are your initial thoughts on The Bachelor Tim Wormels? So I'll let you talk Bachelor Canada, Haley, because I don't know much about that. And then we'll talk.
So
we got a lot of questions about who's the next Bachelor, so we'll get to that after.
Okay. I don't know if we'll cover it. It depends if we have an audience for it. If people really want to, I don't see why we shouldn't.
Yeah, or if there's a way for the U.S. to watch it.
Yeah. Or if we're not totally burnt out on these losers. I'm just kidding. I love them. Or if we're not burnt out on people by the Bachelor Pad, I don't see why not. If we don't podcast about it, I'll definitely blog about it.
Because you'll be watching it.
Parentheses, HaleyStrong.wordpress.com. And self promo, but yeah, I'll definitely be talking about it. And you know, if we don't podcast about it, maybe Amy and I can also co blog about it or something like that.
Yeah, if there's a way for me to watch it, I mean, I love anything Canada, so let's just find a way.
Hook me up, guys. I'm kind of looking forward to it. It seems like they go out of their
Was he like a horse guy or something? Is he like an LJ?
No, I thought he was like a CEO. Oh, okay. I thought he was like a... I feel like they go out of their way to like cast these guys. Kind of like the Andrew Firestone. They find a guy who has
some
this
big story.
Some like interest to him. Like last season it was... And it was 2 years ago at this point. It was Brad Smith, who is this former CFL. Okay. Which is Canadian Football League player. Uh-huh. So it was kind of like one of those things where this guy seems like he's a pretty good businessman, and he's, for his age and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're doing some interesting things. Like, you could vote some of the women into the cast.
Okay.
So, I have to go back and look, but I think we already know some of the cast.
Interesting.
And the format, you didn't watch the first season, right, Amy?
No.
So, the format was really cool. It wasn't like the American version where they go... Like, they have, these set dates.
Yeah.
And, or, like, they travel at a certain point. Like, they would travel all throughout the season. Like, one of the group dates was in New Orleans.
Hmm.
And they filmed in Vancouver. And then one of the one-on-one dates, they went to Calgary. And then a little later in the season, they had a two-on-one date where they went to Paris.
Oh, my gosh.
So, it wasn't like everyone travels to all these places. It was, like... only some people do, and they also had like a group date in Mexico too, so it was a really cool format, so I'm looking forward to it coming back.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because unlike Survivor or these other reality shows where Big Brother, they have to have a Canadian version if Canadians can compete, because we've seen Canadians like Marcus, Charlene as contestants, maybe I don't think ever the lead, but it's just interesting that you have the separate
Jillian
franchise.
Jillian's
oh, yeah,
Canadian.
Jillian, yeah, so that's, I don't know if there's probably no Americans that are competing in the Canadian one, but
probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know who did? Okay, so the girl who won, the first one, she was Chris Humphrey's girlfriend before Kim Kardashian.
Really?
And she looks like Kim Kardashian. Like, it's creepy.
Oh, that is weird.
Anyways, they've since broken up after being together for like 2 years, but
yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so you're not starting with the first one being successful either in Canada, but you only have one
totally.
Chance. But as far as if
they're together for a while,
yeah, it'd be interesting if you do a bachelorette too. I feel like those for the U.S. have been statistically more successful, the bachelorette seasons, so more marriages or whatever. Okay, so we were totally expecting them to announce that Chris was the Bachelor, he was
what
in the audience.
What a CT that they did not tell us, straight up.
They didn't tell us. And then it was just earlier that day, I think I heard it from you first, that Ari was also being rumored. Ari from Emily's season. Was he the runner-up or third place?
Runner-up.
Runner-up, okay. So, And then, of course, there was kind of that groundswell for Markell, but it just doesn't really seem that likely. We don't know what's going to happen on Bachelor in Paradise. But so the rumors are Chris or Ari. Who do you want, Haley, of
I
those
want
two?
Ari. I mean, what are we talking
For the
about?
Bachelor.
No, but for The Bachelor, I think Ari would be an interesting choice. I think he's a good combo of hot and has personality. And
And
whether
he's a
or not
race
you
car
like Ari,
driver.
and whether or not you think he's a douche, I think he would be interesting. And he's
He's
kind of like what I was
funny.
saying, like he's a little off the board.
Yeah, that's what you've been kind of requesting. So that really, I didn't think that they would do that, and that would be an off-the-board choice.
And like I feel like the other night with Chris, they were being too like, haha, like wouldn't it be funny if this guy was the bachelor? Like little, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It kind of depends what way they want to go because Ari, I don't see that you don't really buy that he wants to settle down. I don't know. It's 2 years later, maybe he's changed, but Chris, you totally buy. So it would be totally two different groups of women, I think, for these guys.
Why don't we make both of them the Bachelor,
They did
and
that 1 year.
have to share one pool of women? Did they actually? Are you sure we're not just talking about or A Shot at Love with
It
Tila
was kind of one
Tequila?
of those lamer seasons where I wish I knew how old he was actually when they shot it because it was like, we're going old this time. Like they had Byron, but then they had this other like silver fox show up the first night and the women had to decide which guy they wanted and whoever got the most women over to their side, that's who the bachelor was. So they went in with two
What?
guys. Yeah. So it was Byron and some other no name, like he's just an answer to a trivia question. And then, but the guy, so Byron won, and then he was like this older, like fisherman adventurer type, and he could pick from any of the girls. So I remember there was one girl who was like, "Sorry, I picked the other guy. Like, I'm sure you're cool too." And he still like picked her for, she lasted a little bit, but they could do something like that. But I don't think it didn't play off really well back then. Like that was before they did tons of drama and they were just trying to have different different eye-catching things for the premiere. So, they could, it would be totally different. It would be interesting to have both of them. Like, but Ari is like someone that they can use on these other shows, and Chris, I don't really see on like a Bachelor in Paradise, but I agree,
That's true.
Ari would be more entertaining. And I think with Chris, it would be totally up to the pool of women to provide the entertainment and drama, which usually happens, but I just can't fathom watching the whole, we would, of course, we would still do it, but
But we complain about
yeah, and
it.
yeah, we would actually just before we started recording, Ari tweeted, "No hiding it anymore. Would love to share my journey with all of you, but it's up to Bachelor Nation, open, hopeful, and more than ready." And then he had a rose emoji, yeah. And
Interesting.
then Chris was retweeting Mike Fleiss, I guess, the executive producer of the show. And he says, tallying. He was like, something like, who, let me hear it. Who do you want for Bachelor? And he says, and so maybe they're still up in the air because he says, tallying the votes. Some for Chris, some for Markell, some for Chris Harrison. Where are the Ari supporters?
Oh,
So,
so maybe, or all right, Bachelor wrap-up listeners, let's do this.
what do we want to get behind? I like Markell, but
I'm cool with Markell.
yeah.
I'm
So,
cool with, you know what? Like, Chris would probably make for something. Maybe he has more personality than we've seen. I doubt it, but it's possible.
well, there'll be drama no matter what, and we'll watch. And they could always, Ari, like, if he's, I don't know. I guess they, like, he got a personal trainer, like, they were filming him out there, and so he'll be
He
really
taught
sad.
Sean Lowe how to kiss.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I think he'd be more fun to watch. I guess I would kind of feel bad for Chris because he had so much support and just sort of seemed like that's where it was going, but again, I don't think.
They could always use him.
Yeah, they could even bring him back 2 years later, like they're bringing Ari back if that's where
Yeah.
they go. So, all right, let's see more questions. At Survivor Twerks, asking about Andy. Let's see. Why did she sleep with Nick? I can't figure it out. Was it cruel? Is she a narcissist? Can't wait for the podcast. I really don't understand her.
I think she slept with him because she wanted
She
to.
just
And
wanted
there's no
to.
shame
When
in
in the
that.
Dominican Republic? I
Did you
mean, we
see
saw
that
him.
shirtless window opening?
Oh yeah, that was another
I don't blame her.
that was another big moment in the show. So,
It was
yeah, I
hilarious.
think she had strong feelings for him and
I
was
do
trying to
too.
figure things out too. And then looking back and seeing how hurt he was, like I don't think she maybe anticipated it to that degree either. And I think like he kind of said what a lot of people on these past shows kind of wish they had said. Like they probably felt the exact same way. Like they thought, based on what happened in a family suite, that they were the one being picked, and they weren't. So, it's also so weird. Like, what's so, unrealistic about this is that they can't say things back. They're not allowed to say "I love you" back if someone says "I love you" and they love them. So, just you guys, if you really want true love, I don't know. I don't know about the show, but we can't stop watching. So,
Yeah, if you want true love, try dating naked.
exactly. Exactly. Or MTV's Are You the One, which I binged on a couple weekends ago as well.
Did
So
you? I'm gonna have to watch it next
I think you
season
would like
because
it.
our good friends over at the MTV wrap up shows, they did the challenge, Ally Lasher and Brian Cohen. They're gonna be doing wrap ups for Are You the One,
They are?
and
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it, so.
Yeah, I think they're still on, if you can get it in Canada, on MTV.com, but they.
That takes a lot of
It
effort.
does. No.
If somebody has them on DVD, holler at your girl, but
It
other than that,
was like.
I do know
It was good.
that one of the girls on last season
Yeah?
was the ex-girlfriend of a Blue Jay.
Really? Do you know her name?
Paige.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so.
And they don't have a fantasy suite in their little. They just have like one like resort, but they have a boom boom room, and it has camera in there.
Gross.
But the
Gross.
reason I watched it actually was Stephen Fishback tweeted about it, and he said something about how like.
I've heard from a lot of people that it's like a legit show. And I did watch one episode because my best friend really likes it.
Yeah,
And I was at her house one
you
night
get hooked.
and it came on before it was on after Teen Mom, so we watched
Yeah,
it.
he said something like, "But great premise, even better execution." So it's kind of had a little strategy mixed in. They have to figure things out about who their perfect match is. But again, it wasn't like a true love, whatever. But there was some math behind it, I guess. I don't know. But oh, I'm excited that they're covering it. That's good. And let's see. Speaking of, Ally Lasher had some tweets for us at Lash Tweets. Is it Andy's own fault that Nick said that on TV? He tried to talk to her in private, but she refused. Hashtag torn, which is like the theme of how we feel, Haley.
Yeah,
We're
so
torn.
yeah, because like in what Allie was saying, I was talking to Allie live last night, like on Twitter, and I think we are both had that same feeling of like, well, Nick has his points, but Andy also has her points, so like, who's right? There's a bunch of stuff that we totally agreed on, and it was just kind of like, you're left at the end being like, I don't know. I don't know
Yeah, 'cause
whose side
she
I'm
also
on.
asked if did it seem like slut shaming what he did?
A touch, but it might be us being a little oversensy to that,
Yeah, I
right?
don't think he
I
would
don't think
intentionally
he
do that.
intended it.
I don't think he was trying
I
to
don't
do
think he
that like
intended it as like, well,
you did this and
you
I'm going
slept
to
with all
let
these
Josh
people, and it
know.
was like, well, why did you sleep with me if you knew?
I think he just wanted to know, but it's unfortunate that he had to say it on TV for her sake and
Yeah, that was hashtag Aki Milwaukee.
yeah. And when she's talking about like her
Speaking of
grandma
Nick.
watching, and then I'm thinking like his little sister, is she watching or her friends are probably watching, so that kind of thing.
Bella was like 12. If her friends are watching the. Oh, you know what? To
You
be
would
fair,
watch it if you're 12, yeah.
I watched The Bachelorette when I was
Oh yeah,
12.
and if you know like someone's hot older brother is on it, like you're gonna watch.
Yeah, that's true.
And your town. So, at Colleen Landolt on Twitter, am I just blinded by my love for Nick, or did Andy come off as cold as ice?
She came off a little cold towards him, but wouldn't you if you were forced to be talking to your ex-boyfriend on national television?
Fair point. I agree that she came off cold, and we love Nick, and
But we
but
also love Andy.
yeah. So it was a little, it was hard to watch, but. I don't think she knew what he was going to say, and she her big defense kind of was like, "That's why I came to your hotel room and didn't have you come and propose," or didn't have like that's
Which I think was great of her. I really do.
so at least she.
And
that.
It's kind of that theme with the girls lately that they will tell a guy. Beforehand.
At least we called that like, you know, when they showed the preview of her driving away, that it probably is like in her, you know, it's her MO to do that. So, and that's what she did. Let's see, a lot of questions about who the next Bachelor is. So, we don't know, Chris or Ari. It could be revealed on Twitter any day. Do you think they're going to do it like somehow after the premiere of Bachelor in Paradise or wedge it in there somewhere? Because usually they always do it on one of these shows to announce it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm on team Ryan Lochte. Get him on.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Can you imagine the dates with him? That'd be great.
That would be
great. You know what? That needs to happen. Let's get this going.
Let's get this going on some network. Let's see. At Alex Wilpon, she said, you know, she didn't agree with what Nick said, but she said it certainly was hilarious and good TV, and who doesn't like good TV? So
great TV.
Yeah, that was good. We need Brian Lynch doing the Sabrina impression. Yeah. No, I was definitely like, I was pretty rattled after it. I, you know, stopped taking notes. I was just like, what did I just see? You know, from her showing up at his door to like through the end until it got to like the grumpy cat, blah, blah. Like I was just, but you were still glued to like, what the heck is this train wreck? So, at JBamberger21, do you think the guys feel differently about Nick tonight or do they still despise him? I guess we will find out. So it's kind of interesting because you could kind of see on Twitter, like there weren't a ton of guys live tweeting it and I don't follow them all, but definitely JJ was team Nick. The other Nick was team Nick. A lot of people were in Josh's camp. I don't know. Did you get the sense?
I got the sense that they were torn.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was kind of whoever they were bros with from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So... he also asked, do you think he really wanted to be there tonight? And, or do you think he was pressured by production to be there?
Definitely pressured. And probably he did not want to be there.
Yeah.
Would you?
He already showed up and I think he wanted the answers, but yeah, he definitely looked really uncomfortable to be
there. He would have been happy to not do it on television.
Yeah. Allie Lasher also wants us to review the dress. A little too toga, okay, in my opinion. So you're the fashion expert. I'll let you talk.
I loved Andy's outfits pretty much all evening. I thought everything was fabulous. I loved her red maxi dress. I loved her shorts and crop top combo. I loved pretty much everything, except this dress. And like I
the
feel
final
like
dress,
she,
the dress she wore when she was
she's
being proposed
really
to.
And I feel like she kind of missed the mark with all of the evening gowns this season. And I thought her hair was just a little too big.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with Allie. We're in the same frame of mind about this whole finale, I guess. I did think it was a little too toga-y. I also didn't like that it was white.
I feel like they always do that, though. Like, ooh,
do they?
She's getting proposed to. Not,
I didn't
not always,
love that.
But yeah, it's kind of weird.
I kind of feel like it should have been something a little different.
Yeah,
but
it's not really a flattering color.
No, she's so beautiful, and she has such a like great frame that like it was probably too like billowy too. She could have pulled something off like super like tight fitting and just like a really like bright color. But yeah, I'd give it a C.
Okay. Yeah.
Could be worse. Could be better.
That's what I'd give her choice of Josh as well.
We're biased.
Yeah. Oh, but. I'm surprised you really turned on him because he was your draft. He won you all the points and he's
a
baseball player.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about the draft?
Yes. Let me find it in the notes. So, you know, we talked about how Rob.
Spoiler alert, you guys. I annihilated. Just.
Yeah.
Obliterated my competition.
Yep. Rob had ended up with 74. And. It's funny because I was listening to the AJ Mass cast the other time and they were talking about how Rob was like eliminated like so early on, you know, where it was down to the final five and he was just eliminated and how to like plan scores so that there wouldn't be these huge margins. But, you know, when you get kisses in there, it's just we're all like totally separated by like humongous margins now at the end. So third place, Rob with 74 points. Then me... at 109 with my Nick points
this
week.
That's a big jump.
That's a big jump. And then you have 154.
Yes.
With the winner, Josh. Yeah, so that was with the 10 points for getting the final choice and like 20 kisses and all that. So, Nick still got a few kisses, but they were, oh, sad kisses. Sad counting those kisses on this last episode because you could just tell she wasn't into it anymore. Like, she knew
Yeah.
what she was going to do. So,
Go me.
yes,
Go team.
congratulations.
Thank
And
you. What do I win?
bragging rights.
That's true.
And we'll have to, like, I don't know. I'm skeptical that we can do something for Bachelor in Paradise. I feel like we need to watch the first episode and see what the heck this show
Yeah, because I
is.
feel like we're soups confused about it.
Really confused. And just like how many people are going to be in the end, how many, all these different people coming in and out. Like maybe we'd.
Also, this is our official announcement that we will be podcasting for
Yay!
Bachelor in
We've been
Paradise. We've
renewed.
been renewed. Jinx.
Thanks for the
Buy me
support,
Coke.
guys. Yeah, that's been awesome. And also, thank you to Rob for, starting this wrap-up network and thinking of us for this opportunity. We've really appreciated it, and we're excited to continue. And we appreciate all the support and all the questions and comments we've been getting, and just that we have an excuse to talk to each other each week. It's been awesome
Yeah.
about this show. And I feel like it's like, I don't know, like I view the show now in a different way. Like you're a little more analytical when you're watching it, or you're more
And I learned
invested.
the names a lot
Oh,
faster.
yeah, I still know all the names. It's crazy.
I'm proud.
Yeah.
Do we have any more questions
No more questions,
or?
but we can go to social media. I feel like there's a lot
Sure,
of
let's do
comments
that.
from there. Do you
You guys were like, Twitter was on
That
fire
was
last night. There
fun.
is a lot of funny people, and
Yeah.
I have a few different, like, I know I tend to like go to the same like three people over and over again, but
Yeah, but you got some other ones? Go ahead.
yeah. Okay, so my first one is from the perennial fave at Kelly Travesty. It was really cute. Her and her friend were playing like Bachelorette finale bingo, and it was really cute,
She's
like
had
the
viewing
things.
parties. That's another thing that I saw on Jimmy Kimmel where he was asking, like, if they watched the show together. And he was like, no, I let her, like, enjoy it. And, because that'd be kind of awkward to watch with the guy. So I thought that was kind of nice. Like, she would watch with her friends. So she was at, I think, a lot of times at Kelly's place having viewing parties. And Kelly was always Team Josh. So she may have had an inkling, or actually known, but it was definitely not Team Nick last night at all.
So her tweet was kind of in that line. She said, "Honestly, I'm judging the guys on who I'd rather go on a double date with."
Yeah, 'cause she lives there. I wonder who
That's
she,
cute.
yeah. Who's her date? So interesting. I don't know who this is, but I just thought this was a funny tweet that somebody retweeted. Robert Mills at Millsy11374. It says, "We cut the part where Josh asked Neil Lane if he had a baseball diamond." A lot of baseball references.
I'm okay with it. I have one from at the Bachelor Burn book, so at Bachelor Burn BK. Josh is fine with getting asked tough questions unless you hook him up to a lie detector. Then he gets sassy.
Ooh, that is a burn. Yeah. We'll never know what those questions were. Although he did say they had that moment in the show where she was saying that, oh, he likes blonde, so I've been wearing the blonde wig over. And so I thought, that might be one of
Oh,
his lie
maybe.
detector things. Because he was like, no, I like brunettes. But, people can say they have a preference for one or the other. But when, you find the person that you like, it's not like the deal breaker at
You can
all.
always dye your hair,
Yeah.
as I've learned.
So she said they've had fun with wigs and sunglasses, so more power
That's gross.
to
Didn't want to hear that, but
them.
fine.
At Meg wants to know, she says, I watched the show for 3 months and it ends with a frown off with the grumpy cat. So, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I think, like, Survivor needs to compete and bring, like, another famous cat, like Lil Bub, to their finale because, they're
Can we
setting the
just have like a
precedent.
famous cat party?
Yeah. I mean, I think
Okay,
he has
I
steep ex appearance fees for Grumpy Cat. Like, they.
probably.
Yeah.
Andrea Laventhal at Andy Labs said, "File Josh's tank tops under Andy's doubts." Preach.
Yeah.
The boys were looking stupid, straight up. They had bad outfits.
Yeah. They're at the end of their laundry phase in
I
the
guess
Dominican
so.
Republic. And they don't have their own wardrobe person. It's only if you're the star. So let's see. At. Linda Holmes from NPR at NPR Monkey C. Speaking as a person who has handed my dignity off in the form of a letter, don't ever do that. Hashtag The Bachelorette. I think everyone's sent a letter that they regret at some point, or an email or something. So,
I don't know
but
if
I have, actually.
Really? That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, lesson learned from
well,
The Bachelorette.
You know, I'm still pretty young, yeah. So.
Well, and I think his letter was, I read the whole thing, and it was, like, nice and sweet. Like, he didn't say anything weird in that, but, so, I liked him for the, like, the letter, like, sort of endeared me more. I was just like, oh, you know, but it's too, you know, it's not going to change anyone's mind.
We have our Nick goggles on.
Yeah, we do.
I have two from @JacquelineSchwartz. The first one is, thank you, Nick, for teaching me that I can be attracted to a capri-wearing, scarf-sporting male. Preach, sister.
Yeah, he wears capris, doesn't he?
And she also said, engagements are so much less fun when you know you have to stay with the dude for 2 years to keep the ring.
Little known bachelor fact. So that's why some of these, maybe that's what, you know, I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer, but maybe that's what Chris and Desiree, you know, maybe that's what's going on there. Because I feel like we haven't heard much from them.
No, so, they're just living in Seattle.
Hopefully.
Hopefully
it's all good.
Who was I having this discussion with? Or maybe I just read it somewhere. Mm-hmm. That it seems like the couples who don't live in LA have like a much better chance of surviving.
Interesting. Yeah. Sean and Catherine. Where are they? They're Texas. Yeah. Let's see. I thought this was funny. You probably didn't see the Suave commercial that was aired.
I did not. I haven't seen any.
But it was with Renee from Juan Pablo's season.
Oh.
And yeah. So JP Rosenbaum tweeted, looks like Suave was running out of options.
Was Ashley one of those people?
I don't think so. Wait. You know what? I think I might have predicted she was, but I don't think she was. So she should have been, but they were just saving it up so she could come and have an ultrasound instead.
Ew.
Ultrasound hair.
Ew.
Just use the ultrasound gel.
I'm uncomfy. Let's stop them.
Okay. Do you have more tweets?
I do. Okay. @possessionista, I have three from her. Hat trick.
Nice.
First one, obviously, because passion fades, but courtside seats are forever. True
yes.
That, girl. True that.
Yeah.
Another one was props to Josh. He didn't even wait 30 seconds before reminding us that he played professional baseball.
Nope. Gotta drop that in there.
And the last one from Possessionista. How many times a day do you think Andy or Nick checks Andy's Facebook page?
Oh, oh sad.
Maybe she blocked him.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she could have just got a message from him there, you know, instead of save all the drama. I have @DaltonRoss. Wait, does this mean Andy's going to pick the tall, dark, and handsome athlete? I don't think anyone saw that coming. It's like, we didn't.
We didn't.
We want to, like, not, you know, want to believe that they're... Not that... I mean, Nick was gorgeous, too, so... But
he was cute in a different way. I wouldn't say he was hot. I would say he's...
I think he got hotter for sure, though.
I do. Yeah, definitely.
Hotter on the island of Dominican Republic. Like,
that's
Survivor.
That's kind of how I feel about Dylan.
On the island.
No, my new boy, Dylan.
Yeah. Who you get to see on Bachelor in Paradise. So I'll be interested to see track Haley's attraction to Marcus and Dylan throughout the show.
We need a graph.
Yeah.
Who was it? Somebody sent us graphs. Like a whole like Google Doc of charts of like Bachelor stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think that was Hoopy. No, George Crummer?
I think it was George Crummer.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, of, like, all the dates and all sorts of things like that. So there's a lot of things we can track. And somebody else sent us, I think I have her on another tweet. I think it was Andrea Pascal tweeted us the study about shoe sizes. debunking the myth that shoe sizes matter. But then she tweeted, guess shoe size does matter after her decision. So, you know, I mean, we can, mm-hmm. if we want to simplify it. You know, that could be. We don't know because, you know, we didn't get all the info.
Well, she did pick the guy with the second largest feet in the competition, so.
She did.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why JJ is still a little bitter because he had the biggest feet.
Right.
And he didn't lie about being good in bed, so, you know, it really should have.
Big feet, big ego.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. I have one from June, who also tweeted at us. She tweeted something about Ari. She said, Ari's hotness and Ari's ego are exhausting together. So I don't know if that means, like, she wants to see Ari as the bachelor, but I kind of want to see that. The hotness
I want to see him as
and the ego. Compared to, you know, Chris, he's cute, but he's bland. So she also tweeted, let's see, now I lost it. Where did she go? Oh, Andy saying it's going to be all right repeatedly is a little hypocritical considering Juan Pablo Gate. So that's what she was saying to Nick on their date. Like, it'll be all right.
That's
like,
very interesting.
Yeah, actually. That was a good point. So hold a mirror up to yourself, Andy. Repeating these patterns. All right. Do you have any more?
No, my last one was the Dalton Ross one you read.
Oh, okay. So I just have one from JJ, because he was, you know, Team Nick. He says, when your entire relationship is on camera, don't expect people to all of a sudden act completely fake during tough moments during breakups. And hate on at Vile Nicholas 28 all you want. That was raw, live human emotion you saw. He was saying what he was thinking in the moment. So defending. I think how we felt, too, that, you know, it was some things you can't really... He always kind of had, she always said, like, oh, I like when you trip over your words and stuff. So that kind of came back to bite her this time, that he's not going to say it exactly maybe the ideal way. That would be a little more, I don't know, protective of what happened between them, because he's, you know, raw and in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So
So if that's the end of our tweets, thank you for following along with us on Twitter all season and tweeting us your questions and live tweeting along with us. It's been so much fun. Like, I used to always get people telling me in my real life, like, oh, you tweet so much about The Bachelor. Like, I always have to just, like, avoid Twitter on those nights. So, like, the fact that people, like, want to tweet this show with me, like, it's so much fun. And it makes this podcast so much fun. And I love being able to talk about The Bachelor with you, Amy, and everybody who takes time out of their lives to listen to us talk about it. Like, that's so awesome. And it's been so much fun. Yeah. And I've said that so many times, and
I know it has been really fun.
Thank you to you guys for tuning in every week. And when our podcast is a little late, for tweeting us and being like, where is it? Like, we love that. Oh, we actually love it.
One time I thought I'd upload it and notified, you know, who I need to notify, like, hey Rob, it's up, and it just was in my outbox and I hadn't sent it. So we need these checks and balances sometimes, people. So yeah, it's really great to have the interaction with all of you. It's been a lot of fun, but we're not going anywhere. We'll be here for Bachelor in Paradise. And who knows what to expect. And we realized that this podcast tonight is a little scattered. You know, so we didn't really talk about, like, her dad or anything. So, you know, leave us comments on the page. And make sure you're subscribed, so that I'm pretty sure that if you're subscribed to the Reality Rehab-Ups feed, you'll get the Bachelor in Paradise. And I think if you're subscribed to the Bachelorette one, it should transfer over as well. But, you know, I'm not very technical, so I am not sure. But I think it will. But we'll update you when that's going to be dropping. So
follow us on Twitter. Yeah. I'm at HStrong and Amy is at RHAP Recapper. We would not miss for the world live tweeting Bachelor in Paradise. We are both so looking forward to this.
I really can't wait. It's going to be a good change of pace. We'll have a lot of different people to watch to sort of forget about, you know, how heartbroken we are.
Basically, the first episode is going to be like an hour of me being like, wait, who is this?
Yeah.
I don't remember them.
Yeah, we probably should. Oh. You know, it's kind of sad that we're not doing a draft at the beginning, because then that would force me to stare at their at their bios on abc.com.
But, like, I feel like the format is so, like, fluid and, like, confusing that it's hard to be like, all right, these are the people who are going
to
be on.
I know. I think we'll just have to do, like, a preview after, or kind of predictions, but maybe not a draft. A post-view after the premiere. Yeah, we don't really have a set plan. If you have ideas on what things we could score or just predict on, you know, ask us those questions too. So, yeah, thanks for following everybody and all the interaction.
We love you.
And it's been fun, Bachelor Buttons. Stay tuned for Bachelor in Paradise.